全米グリーンビルディング協会の前 CPO で、現在はアークスコール CEO でいらっしゃいます、スコット・ホースト様に、リード・アーク認証のグローバル化と題し、ご講演いただきます。よろしくお願いいたします。So we'd like to welcome the next speaker is Mr. Scott Host. So please.
An honor to be here. I want to begin by thanking Green Building Japan, your board, and especially Hiroki Shinigu Ayako for your generous hospitality this last week. I'm here representing U.S. Green Building Council, Green Business Certification Inc., and ARSCORU and GRESB. We're a family of organizations with different rating systems.But I'm specifically going to talk about two of the tools that we've used to collectively lead towards the dream that Rick speaks of. I also need to thank Rick Fedrizzi because when he was CEO of USGBC, he brought me on board to oversee the LEED rating system. Let me begin with seven thoughts. One.We know we can build a better world. Two, the way we build our places is a gift to the future. Three, the wisdom of how to build with nature is well known in ancient Japanese architecture. Four,How to apply that wisdom in today's context is our job, specifically your job. Five, we are a global community. Six, we can learn from each other. And seven, when we connect what we do, when we connect what we do,When we build, we can cause great transformation. What I'm going to talk about is how we do that connection. I'm a tool maker. I'm not the doer. My job is to make connections between people across the world in order to create transformation. So let me start with a story about me. I'm going to see if this works if I move up here. When we began the LEED rating system, it was almost solely in the United States. And there was pressure as it became more popular to create regional versions of LEED. The typical wisdom was that regional rating systems were smarter. And in many ways, you can understand why that thinking is.But I'm a big fan of CASB, so I'm not saying regional rating systems are wrong. But what did not exist was one rating system for the whole world. So what we said was, instead of regional systems, we'll do one system, and everybody will work on that same system. That's when we created the LEED International Roundtable. That's when we met GBJ.Who came on the LEED International Roundtable with 39 other countries. And I want to show you what happened when we did that. So these are LEED projects that are occurring over time. You see down in the corner, 2002, 2003, and so on. And you'll see it's almost solely in the United States, maybe one project every once in a while someplace else. When we said one system for the whole world, it was 2010. Now here,For 2009, okay, here you go. And this is the heat map of LEED projects today in the world. 95,000 projects in 167 countries. To me, this is a great story about our humanness, a great story of our anthropology. We love to compare ourselves to each other.We learn who we are when we compare ourselves to each other, and we naturally compete. When we have a system that helps us learn from each other around the globe and helps us learn from each other, connect our actions, and then compete, we create great transformation. What we've done, I believe, with LEAD is that we've changed the way Class A office buildings in primary markets are built in most of the world. It's not true in Tokyo, I know that. But it's true in almost every other primary market. If you're building a large structure, almost everybody does LEED as risk mitigation in order to get international tenants. So what we want to do next, though, is go past primary markets. Because if we really want to have big impact, we need to impact all buildings. So we created ARC. ARC is a platform that takes data and provides a score on the outcomes. The way LEED works is, most rating systems work, you have a set of rules. You do the thing that the rule says, which is a credit or a requirement. Once you've done the requirement, you send in your documentation, and then the certifier says, yes, you did that. With ARC, we flip it completely upside down, and we say, let's take advantage of data, and let's provide a score based on outcomes. Our mission is to connect all actions that lead to a higher quality of life. Very broad. But it's broad because we want to show that systems don't exist only inside a building. They don't exist only at the building. The system is everything that impacts the building and everything the building impacts. So we take data and we provide a score, initially is what we're doing now, in five categories. Human experience, which is the air you're breathing, your satisfaction level, volatile organic compounds, transportation, how you are getting to the building, waste, how much waste is being generated and how much waste is being diverted, water, how much water is being used, and energy. And we score energy based on carbon. Now, the really fascinating thing about that is that we can take this massive amount of data, and because we've been in 167 countries and asking for building data since 2009 from all of those buildings, we have a massive database on buildings. We have more data on green buildings than anyone else in the world. We don't need that. Our vision is a score of 0 to 100 for every building in the world. A way of understanding how you're doing relative to anybody else. Now, why a score? See, a score takes this massive amount of data and allows you to turn it into something that can easily be communicated everywhere. I don't care, it's not that I don't care, I don't need technical people to understand what's happening in terms of megajoules and carbon and kilowatt hours. I need to expand the system, and in order to expand the system, I need everybody to know what's happening. A score is very simple. It goes up or it goes down. I'm getting better or I'm getting worse. I can communicate that to the tenant. I can communicate that to the owner. I can communicate that to people on the street. I can communicate it to grid operators. So a score becomes a common language that doesn't need technical information, but is driven on massive amounts of it. But let me talk for a minute about measurement. I believe that we measure the things that we care about the most. We measure them the best. So gold, let's say, we value gold, we measure it very precisely. This is my wood shop. I built this in 1992, and it's one of my favorite places in the world. This is my workbench. At the workbench is a bench dog. The bench dog is there to solidly hold a piece of wood. This is me making a benchmark. Now, the thing about a benchmark is that it's very particular to my bench. It's very good if I want to make 1,000 cuts without remeasuring. But it's not very good for carrying other places. See, in our world right now, we use terms like benchmark, and we don't even know what it means. If I ask everybody to tell me what benchmark means, some would say it means to collect data. Some would say it means to meet the legal requirements. Some would say it means what's your zero place to start. How can we be real about measuring carbon and water and the things that we really care about when we haven't even figured out exactly how to measure them? We haven't standardized them. Now, this is a metric. The great thing about a metric, let's say it's a centimeter, and the metric is standardized. I can carry this metric to any shop in the world. I can carry it to Japan from the United States, and everybody knows what it means. And I can use it on any variety of different tools. It transfers very easily. So what we're doing with ARC is taking metrics and standardizing them to be able to be used globally. And we can see examples of what this type of standardization has meant over time and how this kind of very simple seeming transformation has completely changed the way we function as a society. So let me just tell you a little bit about what we've done. We built a platform, and the platform provides the score, it provides a place to enter data, it provides a whole series of very strong analytics. So this is the whole score. And the nice thing about this is it's not lead. You'll see this project is not lead. So you can come in, any project in the world, CASB project, a non-certified project, come in and put your data, and you'll receive a score. So you are in the context of lead projects, but you don't have anything to do with lead otherwise. The other thing I want to show you is that in each category, we have a 0 to 100 score. And because this is based on global data, this is the first global energy score in the world. It's the first global water score, the first global waste score, the first global transportation score, and the first human experience score. Simply having a score is a fantastic way for us to connect our actions from Japan to New York to Shanghai to Stockholm. And because of that, we can do all kinds of analytics. Now, this is ARC projects since the first year. The great thing about using technology, this is in 12 months. The great thing about using technology is it allows us to do scale much more rapidly. I mean, when I said 98,000 projects with lead, very impressive, but nothing, it's a drop in the bucket relative to all of the impact occurring from buildings everywhere in the world. So technology allows us to expand much more quickly and much more diversely. We have 1.4 million square meters using ARC, 3,400 buildings. This is in the first year and a half, 112 countries. And because ARC allows us so much flexibility, we can use it in different scales. So ARC can score a space, it can score a building, it can score a group of buildings, it can score a neighborhood, and it can score a city. So again, technology allows us so much. But the thing I care about the most, having worked on lead for so many years, I could never tell you what the real impact was. Now I can tell you in ARC, we're tracking 18 million metric tons of carbon in the first year and a half. We're tracking 38 billion gallons of water. Sorry, I should have translated that. And we have 2.5 million occupants that are impacted by the work we're doing. So let me tell you a little bit about just a few of the projects that we're doing. And again, I won't go through these. I just want to emphasize the flexibility of technology. We have our first airport, our first building, our first city, our first transit station, our first skyscraper, the Empire State Building, our first stadium in Minneapolis, first hotel in San Francisco, first convention center in Austin, Texas, first state capitol in Colorado, first hospital, first university. Massive flexibility that's allowed to us because we're using artificial intelligence to score. Just a few of the projects, Parkview Green in Beijing, Redwood 100 OP in Redwood City, California, Professional Offices Park in San Juan, Puerto Rico, Two Park Avenue. Now, again, the thing that I really love about these isn't anything other than I can tell you the exact metric tons of carbon emissions for each of these projects, and I can tell you the annual water usage for each of these projects. To me, that's the dramatic difference. Kinsan Building, I don't know if someone's here from Kinsan Building. They're the first project in Japan to use the ARC platform to get to LEED certification. So we're changing the idea of leadership. We're saying instead of leadership only being the top buildings, we're saying transparency, accountability, data is always real, and improvement, making your score go up, is leadership. So just a few things about what we're learning. We're learning that a scorecard, like the LEED scorecard or CASBEE scorecard, is very powerful, especially for new construction, because it helps project teams discipline themselves around a set of goals. But it doesn't work for an existing building. If you have an existing building, it's very challenging to use a scorecard because you don't have a project team the same way. Another thing we're learning is that if you have a super clean grid, a grid that's almost all renewable energy, it's not so helpful to put more renewable energy there. Where we really want to focus renewable energy is in grids that are using dirty fuels. ARC scores you very differently because we're scoring based on emissions. We score you very differently when you do renewables. And so the system can help you prioritize where you have the biggest impact. We're also learning where best practices around the world. We started with data in the United States. And then when Sweden came in, it blew up our score. Because every project scored perfectly. This bothered the people in California because they thought they had the best buildings in the world. But what happened was the Swedes have such a clean grid and they're so focused on how they provide district energy and district heat, and they're very focused on their waste. We see very clearly Sweden is best practice. So what does that tell us? It tells us look to them on how they're doing it and share it. Look to their wisdom and share it. We don't have to make up everything. We can look to see what they're doing and try it where we are. The other thing that really fascinates me is almost nobody knows how much water they're really using. Everybody that looks at ARC sees the water, and we tell them how much per square foot or square meter and how much per occupant. Almost everybody goes, no way, no way. I don't use that much water. I go to the bathroom twice. I wash my hands twice. But they aren't thinking about what's happening outside in landscaping. They aren't thinking about the cooling towers. They aren't thinking about other process loads that might be happening. So ARC reveals the truth about what's really going on in space. What we're focused on right now is getting groups of buildings to put all their buildings in. So instead of going building by building, they can go to the whole portfolio. And because we own GRESB, we're building ARC as the asset level tool for ESG in GRESB. So you can use ARC, track your data, What we're building over these next few months is that you'll be able to send your ARC data over into GRESB. Right now, you can take your GRESB portfolio and send it into ARC. These are some examples, but my favorite example of groups of buildings are school districts. We have almost 16 school districts in the system representing over 800,000 square meters. Many, many schools are using the system without certifying, but able to see how their score is relative to each other. And as I was saying before, the flexibility of the platform allows us to go into different dimensions. So now we can do LEED for transit instead of just LEED for buildings. So LEED for transit is being used by Delhi Metro, and we're starting with their stations. Shanghai Metro, we're in discussions with. They want to do their stations, but they also want to score their transit lines, the green line to the blue line. So to me, these are fascinating ways that we can use the system to go much further than just thinking building by building. And same thing with LEED for cities. LEED for cities is built on the ARC platform. I hope you'll be hearing a lot about LEED for Cities coming up. We have 74 communities in the system right now. That's the performance score of Washington, D.C. So the goal of ARC is to expand our idea, expand our understanding of how systems work. And we want people to know how transit impacts their community. We want buildings to know how health is impacted by the energy grid, and on and on. So let me finish with a few of these thoughts again. We know we can build a better world. The way we build, places is a gift to the future. The wisdom of how we build with nature is well known in ancient Japanese architecture. How to apply that wisdom today is up to you. We are a global community. You can share that wisdom with us. When we connect what we do, when we connect all what we do everywhere around the world, we cause massive transformation. Never settle for change. Only create transformation. Thank you very much.